Eve. Radiation levels down almost to normal, Pancho said. You okay?
Sure, he lied.
He felt too weak to move, too tired to care.
Time to get out of here.
She was scrabbling, clawing through the gravelly dirt. Dan wanted to help her, but he could barely move his arms. All he wanted to do was sleep. Then his guts suddenly lurched and a wave of nausea swept over him.
We're up, in the open.
Amanda's voice came through his helmet speaker. I'm gonna need some help here, Pancho replied. Dan's in a bad way. Dan was concentrating on not vomiting.
Get me to a toilet, he begged silently. I don't want to let loose inside the suit.
Even in the depth of his misery, though, somewhere in the back of his mind, he laughed bitterly at himself.
It all boils down to this, he thought. Everything you've done in your life doesn't amount to a teaspoon of applesauce. All that's really important is not upchucking or losing control of your bowels.
He sensed somebody digging frantically above him, and then strong arms lifting him, dragging him free of the rubble-filled tunnel. Fuchs. He overdid it, and the two of them went tumbling completely off the asteroid, spiraling crazily into space. Dan saw Star Power 1 slide past his field of view, and then an unstoppable surge of bile rose into his throat, and he vomited, spattering his stomach's contents noisomely all over his fishbowl helmet. The stench was overpowering. He groaned and retched again.
Hang in there, boss, Pancho said. I got you.
Dan thought he heard someone else retching, too. Nothing like the sound of vomiting to make you upchuck, too. I could get the whole Vienna Boys Choir tossing their cookies this way. He wavered in and out of consciousness, thinking, that's the way they get you. They make you so miserable that you'll be glad to die. He squeezed his eyes shut and tried not to breathe. He desperately wanted to wipe his face, but inside the suit and helmet it was impossible.
Okay, the lock's cycling, he heard Pancho say. Bring him inside.
Amanda's voice.
Take him to his own bunk.
Yes, careful now. He didn't dare open his eyes. At one point, he heard Pancho say,
You get him out of his suit. I gotta see how much damage the storm did to the ship's systems.
After a while, he felt something cool and soothing wiping his face. Opening his eyes at last, Dan saw a blurred image of Amanda bending over him with Fuchs beside her. They both looked worried, grim.
How do you feel?
Amanda asked. Lousy, he croaked. Fuchs said,
We are underway. Pancho is accelerating to 1/3 G.
The ship's okay?
Some of the sensors were damaged by the radiation, Fuchs said. And the communications equipment, too. But the fusion power plant is functioning properly.
The nanobugs didn't get to the MHD generator's superconductor, Dan asked. It took most of his strength to get the words out.
No, they seem perfectly in order, Fuchs answered.
Then he added, Thank God.
We're on our way home, Dan thought.
Until you get him here where we can give him proper medical treatment, Cellini's chief radiation therapist was saying, there's nothing you can do for him beyond the chelation pills and the antioxidants you're already giving him. Pancho watched the medic's unhappy image as she sat disconsolate in the command pilot's chair. It had taken more than an hour to contact Cellini. Star Power 1's high-gain antenna had been knocked out by radiation damage, and she'd had to use the backup laser comm system. Otherwise, the ship was running okay. Some radiation damage here and there, nothing vital. The nanobugs hadn't gotten to the superconducting coil of the MHD generator. Thank whatever gods there be. But Dan was in a bad way. And the sad-ass medics at Cellini couldn't do any more for him than a bunch of witch doctors. Bring him in as fast as you can. Well, sure, that's what I'm doing. But will it be fast enough? And Ellie was dead. Just before they had abandoned the ship, she had left the snake in her box and put the box in the refrigerator, knowing the cold would put Ellie into a torpor, hoping that the fridge would provide enough shielding to save the crate. I should have carried her inside my suit, Pancho berated herself. Even if she bit me, I should have brought her with me. The radiation had killed the crate, along with the one remaining mouse. Her thoughts returned to Dan. He's got it bad. We all took a dose. We'll all need medical attention once we get back to Selene. The chelation pills are helping, but Dan might not make it. He looks half dead already. Amanda came into the bridge and slipped into the right-hand seat. How is he? Pancho asked. We cleaned him up, and he's sleeping now. She made a strange face. His hair is coming out. In clumps. Pancho fought down the urge to go back to Dan's compartment. Nothing you can do there, she told herself. She asked Amanda, How's Lars? He seems to be fine. Did he take the pills? Yes, of course. He's working on the high-gain antenna. That circuitry's supposed to be hardened against radiation, Pancho said angrily. We ought to sue the manufacturer when we get back. Oh, Pancho, it was exposed to such a high level of radiation. That was an intense storm. She nodded, but said, Yeah, but still, that comm gear has got to work right. You need a rest, Amanda said. We all do. I'll take the comm. Go back and catch some sleep. Maybe you're right. Do it, Pancho. She looked at Amanda for a brief moment, then made up her mind and slowly got to her feet, surprised at how stiff she felt. If I'm not back in 2 hours, wake me up. Amanda nodded. I mean it, Mandy. 2 hours. Yes, I will. Satisfied, Pancho made her way back through the wardroom. She hesitated at the door to her privacy compartment, and then went a further few steps to Dan's door. She slid it open a crack. Dan was still sleeping, lying on the bunk, his body sheened with perspiration, the shorts and a t-shirt they had put on him stained by his sweat. His scalp was dotted with bald spots where tufts of hair had come out. God, he's in a bad way, she said to herself. He opened his eyes and focused on her. Hi, kid, he breathed. How you feeling, boss? Not good. Anything I can bring you? I could fix some broth or something. I'd just chuck it all over myself, he said. We'll be in Selene in another day and a half. Just rest yourself and we'll get the medics. Did you send my last will and testament to them? Dan asked. Pancho shook her head. Having troubles with the main antenna. Lars is working on it. How's the laser? Back up? It's okay. We're using it to send my will, Dan said. We don't have to do that. You're going to be fine. Send it, he insisted. He tried to raise himself on one elbow and failed. Send it, he whispered. You sure you want to leave everything to me? Will you fight Humphreys? She nodded solemnly. Yep, that's promise, boss. Good. He smiled weakly. Send it. Now. With a reluctant sigh, Pancho said, Okay, if that's what you want. That's what I want, he whispered. And put in our claim to Haven, too. She nearly smiled. That's more like Dan Randolph, she thought.
One more day, said Fuchs. He and Amanda sat side by side in the wardroom. Fuchs was picking half-heartedly at a breakfast of prepackaged eggs and soy meat. Amanda hardly looked at her cereal and fruit. One more day, she replied glumly. You're not happy? Humphreys is in Selene. It will start all over again once we get back. Not if you're married to me, Fuchs blurted. She stared at him. He looked totally serious, almost solemn. But then his thin lips curved slowly into a hopeful smile. Before she could think of anything to say, Fuchs went on. I love you, Amanda. I'm not proposing to you merely to protect you from Humphreys. I love you, and more than anything in the universe, I want you to be my wife. But Lars, we've only known each other a few weeks, not even that long. How long does it take? He asked. I've fallen hopelessly in love with you. It happened in an instant. She felt stunned. This steady, capable.